Welcome to another episode of Catbox. This is episode 11. I'm Justin.
And I'm Mel.
And today on the Catbox Chronicles podcast, which you subscribe to, hopefully, and you're following.
And listening to.
Obviously, you're listening to it. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing.
Unless you're new.
Yeah.
And this might be your
first
attention
episode.
Pay attention
to what, if you're driving. Yeah, if you're driving right now, pay attention to the road. Don't pay attention to us. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. This is more of a Kitties in the Know segment of this podcast, like we did Why Do Cats Meow episode. We're kind of switching gears here. We're going to do how to safely care for your cats when you have fish as pets as well.
And this fits in with today's episode because today I got our fishes a new fish friend.
Yeah, I believe this is, what, the sixth fish in our tank right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had another one. Her name was Molly. She was a Molly, obviously.
Ha ha.
Yeah, she was a Dalmatian Molly, the prettiest fish ever, but she passed away about a couple weeks ago before this episode's taping, but sad day. So Melanie went to the store and got a new fish friend today, and its name is Yellowtail.
Very pretty.
Yeah, we have a 10-gallon tank. It's got, what do we have? What kind of fish do we have?
We got two Bolinos Aries Tetras, two Platys, a Pleco, and Yellowtail.
What kind of fish is Yellowtail?
He is some sort of variety fish.
He's a mutt. He's
no,
a mutt
like,
fish.
I kid you not.
Amalgamation of all sorts of things.
Variartis Red Tail is what the receipt says.
Yeah, Variartis Red Tail. If you know what that is, if you're a fish owner out there, that's what we have right now.
I had never seen those at the pet store before, but I thought he looked pretty cool because he has a red face, a black body, and a yellow tail.
Yeah, he's kind of like a conglomeration of all the fish that we have.
I posted a picture on Instagram, so check us out.
Yeah, the Catbox Chronicles. So let's get into our first topic here, but first we got to cue the music. Melanie wanted to talk about keeping your cats safe if you have fish. So how do you go about keeping your cats safe if you have pet fish as well?
Well, I think this article is talking about how to keep both cats and fish safe.
Okay,
not just one or the other.
We're not going to take precedence over whether the cat should stay safe or the fish. We want both to stay safe.
Yes.
So go ahead.
So if any of you listeners have both cats or other pets and fish, you might know that your pet tries to be naughty. Maybe it likes to get up on the tank hood. Maybe it likes to get up there and dip its paw in there for a refreshing stroke of water. That's what we're gonna go over today. Or maybe your cats are just kind of like ours, or your dogs or whatever, and just kind of like to watch the action.
Yeah, I was gonna say ours don't really do much to the fish. They know they're there, but they really don't care.
First off, cats can stress out the fish.
Obviously, that's a Captain Obvious statement.
Cats may not have bad intentions when it comes to fish. They might just enjoy watching them. That can still stress them out. We have our fish tank in the kitchen underneath the cabinet, so there's no room for our cats to jump up there.
It'd be very cramped for them if they did.
Yes.
There's less than a foot of space between the cabinet and the top of the fish tank.
You should, however, have a sturdy lid that if your cat is naughty and jumps up there, it will hold it and not break it.
Yeah, some fish tanks have really cheap lids, so be careful with that.
Absolutely. Put it on a stand high enough that your cat has no interest getting up there. Or if you're not able to do those things, the article suggests taking aluminum foil or sticky tape and putting it on top of the lid. Because when your cat jumps up there, they're not gonna like the noise of the aluminum foil or the texture of the sticky tape.
Yeah, and I've seen videos of people putting aluminum foil on countertops that for cats that jump up there as well, and it'll freak the cats out. Now, I'm not gonna say every cat is just like that, but that's what we've seen in the videos, is if you put aluminum foil on top of something, the cat will freak out.
Because they don't like the noise.
Mm-hmm.
They also don't like the feeling. The other part for keeping the cat safe is you don't want your cat to get hurt or drown. Like, I'm not kidding. There's videos where people have huge goldfish.
Uh-huh.
And the goldfish will pull the cats in.
Oh, God.
And drown them.
Cats, that's terrible.
Cats can fall in fish tanks and
fish
drown.
Murder. Fish is committing murder.
cats can fall in, especially
I mean, we've all seen America's Funniest Home Videos with Bob Saget.
Oh, this isn't America's Funniest Home.
The brand knows, yeah, these are horrible videos of cats falling in there and getting pulled in by a fish. Fish are assholes sometimes.
They can be if the cat
taunts them
or antagonizes them, mm-hmm. though. If you have a betta that has, like, a round fish tank or is a smaller fish tank, put it to where your cat can't get it or has no interest in getting it. Also, please put your tank on a stable surface. Like, if you put your fish tank on a corner stand in your living room that can be knocked over by a balloon, that's not very safe for either your fish or your cat.
If it can be knocked over by a balloon, that's a pretty cheap stand. Or a gust of wind or whatever.
Also, if you have large size cats, like Maine Coons, you should ask your aquarist what the sturdiest lids are. As you know, Maine Coons are very big cats. And so they are some of the cats that can probably crack a very not sturdy lid. And then you either have a sad, wet, injured cat, or you got very sad, dead fish. The cat's food dishes should not be near the fish tank, It won't associate the tank with eating.
Oops.
We have our food dishes for the cats on the floor by the fish tank, but our cats also don't jump up there or show much interest in them.
They're actually pretty good about not getting up on the counter, and I think we've trained them that way.
But if you know your cat is more likely to get up there, you might want to move the food dishes so they don't have that temptation.
Yeah, it's like a funny anecdote you once told me about. For men, if you don't want to have to go to the bathroom all the time when you hear running water, don't go pee in the shower.
Oh, well, I think you told me
There's an association with that, yeah. This is totally off topic, but men, if you go pee in the shower, you're training yourself to go pee every time you hear water running. So take that to note.
Also, some cats may be more interested in the water than the actual fish. If you have a cat that likes to play in the water, they might enjoy a water fountain or a bigger water bowl.
I know our cats don't.
No, they knock the water fountain over. I tried.
Yeah, we had a water fountain once. It's like the cycling water thing, because we figured our cats liked fresh water because they kept drinking out of the shower upstairs. After every time we take a shower, they would get in there and drink the fresh water. So we got them one of those cycling water things, and yeah, within a couple weeks, it kept being knocked over and flipped over, and there was just puddles of water. Yeah, there was puddles of water everywhere. Our cats don't like them.
Or you could train your cat to leave the fish alone. Do not involve yelling or swatting at the cat, as those will simply teach the cat to fear their owner. But you should hiss at the cat, and it will warn it away from the aquarium.
I wonder if that actually works, though. I've never actually hissed at any of the cats I've ever owned.
You should do it just to see what their reaction is. Yeah. For kicks and giggles.
No, Maddie opened her eyes, but that's about it. Then she closed them right there.
Well, she's also not in a mood right now to where that would bother her any.
And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know exactly where she's sitting right now, on the chair to the right of us as we record this. So I also found an article not really related to keep your cats and fish healthy at the same time, but this is one of those controversial topics. Fish make better pets than dogs and cats.
Oh, maybe we should have a separate episode on this.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. We're going to have another episode.
Please enlighten.
Yeah, so we'll do a full episode on this, but I'll skim through these, okay? Here's 5 reasons why fish make better pets than cats and dogs, all right? Variety. This one I disagree with, because there's all sorts of variety of cats and dogs. You can get any sort of breed of cat and dog. But fish, it says, you can get a brown one, you can get a fat one, you can get a skinny one, you can get a yellow one, you can get a goldfish, you can get a lionfish, you can get classic fish, you can get dangerous fish, you can get bettas, you can get bizarre fishes, you can get seahorses, you can get frogs, you can get all sorts of things.
Frogs. I looked at a frog today.
Number 4, they won't pee on your carpet. Yeah, we had older cats and it passed, and you know, I've had experience with cats peeing on carpet.
Pets, unless they have medical issues or are really old, should not be peeing on the carpet.
Unless they're not house trained.
Yeah, unless they're not house trained, but then that goes back to the owner not doing their job.
Well, and a dog you have to take for a walk to do its business. Cats are pretty self-sufficient with cat boxes. Fish are beautiful.
They are. They can be.
How is a dog not beautiful? How is a cat not beautiful? I disagree with that.
I think most animals in some way, if you can see the beauty in them.
Fish are hypoallergenic.
That's true.
You can get hypoallergenic cats and dogs too, though.
Hairless cats and dogs are ugly.
That goes with number three.
And they're oily.
Anything dogs and cats can do, fish can do better.
I disagree with that one.
This one says you can cuddle with cats and dogs. You can't cuddle fish. Well, it says you can. The article says you can.
It would die.
Dogs can sniff out bombs and hunt animals. A dog's nose can save lives. You think fish people are going to be impressed by a good sense of smell? A
dog fish have like 3-second memories.
My cat can climb up my wardrobe. I'd like to see a fish do that. Fish can descend several miles beneath the surface of the ocean. Beat that. I can take my dog to the park. You can take your fish to the park too. Or if you're one of those weird people that have plants that are pets.
Take your fish and your plant to the park.
So there you go. There's a little offside humor there about fishies.
Hey, Justin.
What?
If I wrote on a piece of paper the word H-Y-G-G-E, how would you pronounce it?
H-Y-G-G-E?
Yeah.
Hygge. 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 Like my cat. Is that how it is? Hygge?
No.
What is it?
Hooga.
What?
H-O-O-G-A-H is how they spell it out.
But it's H-Y. How do you figure that in?
I don't know, the Danish.
No.
This is a Danish thing.
I don't know what was in that Danish.
So, with fall closing in and winter close behind, I wanted to talk about the Danish word hygge.
Hygge chaga.
And it roughly translates to coziness.
Fuzzy.
So, you might be wondering what it actually is.
Yeah, what is hygge chaga?
It's not hygge chaga, it's just hygge. Hygge means creating a warm atmosphere and enjoying the good things in life with good people. The warm glow of candlelight is hygge. Friends and family is hygge too. There's nothing more hygge than sitting around a table discussing the big and small things in life. Perhaps hygge explains why the Danes are some of the happiest people in the world.
Sounds like luga. Haka luga.
I don't need comments from the peanut gallery.
Oh, okay. Well, when I think of hygge, I think of sitting in my chair watching a good movie and with my blanket on since it's fall already and just snuggling and just being warm. Is that right?
Yes.
Or looking at my kitty deep into his eyes. Is that hygge? Because he's right behind you.
Could be.
Oh.
So one of the things that it suggests, and a lot of us enjoy, are candles and soft lighting.
I do enjoy those things.
If you have pets like we do,
yeah,
you might prefer electric candles that run on batteries.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
I mean, we also use regular candles too, but Target has some electric candles that use AA batteries, and they smell like vanilla.
Yeah, and some of them run on timers too, so you don't, if you forget to turn them off, they'll turn off on their own.
So if you fear that your pet might knock over a regular flame-burning candle, that might be a good option for you. I really enjoy our electric candles.
Tell me more about hygge.
Hot drinks.
Ooh.
When we think of hygge, we immediately think of the Danish winter and hot drinks that warm you down to your toes. Imagine coming inside after spending time in chilly air and wrapping your hands around a mug of hot chocolate or maybe some mulled wine. The feeling? That's hygge.
That sounds awesome. You know, I used to go skiing up in the mountains with my family, my brother and my dad, and we never got to do hygge afterwards. We always just went home. Sad day.
Well, home is where you can do the hygge.
I know, but it's like an hour and a half drive or 2-hour drive or 3-hour drive from Utah.
True. Of course, the warm weather version is sitting in the shade enjoying a chilled glass of iced tea.
That also sounds good.
Or freshly made lemonade.
My hygge is chai tea or something from Caribou.
Yes.
This episode is not sponsored by Caribou.
No, but I like Caribou.
Yeah.
Create a hygge nook.
Nook? I'm leaving that one in.
You do not need to go overboard with this idea. Just create a space that suits your relaxation style.
Mm.
For me, that means a comfy chair, a footstool, and good light to read by, and a throw blanket in the cooler weather.
I bet you like a foot rub, too.
I would love a foot rub. Your hygge nook doesn't even need to be inside. If the weather is good, create a space in the garden where you can either read or sit or contemplate life while enjoying a refreshing drink.
Sounds awesome to me.
For those of you that love to read, curl up with a good book. It's simple, frugal, and it is embraced by hygge because you're taking time away from the digital world and getting cozy. And it's all about taking care of you. Ooh, the next one is one I enjoy.
What's that?
Invest in or knit some cozy socks.
Yee.
Pulling on a pair of thick knitted socks is the perfect way to signal to the world that you're officially in relaxation mode.
You know, we have a friend, once we went over to their house, and she asked me why I was wearing wool socks. And I honestly was like, really? Why? What does it matter? They're super comfortable. I love super comfortable socks. That's how you practice hygge, I guess, isn't it?
Yep.
Putting on super comfortable socks.
And this one, if you have a crock pot, this one's for you guys. Enjoy a slow-cooked meal. There's something very decadent about the aromas from a slow-cooked meal. Even more delicious than the food is knowing that some of the best slow-cooked meals are almost frugal.
Mm.
Or also the most frugal.
Almost frugal.
Well, I mean, they can be if you don't spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
What's more comforting than nourishing food, you know, made the best use of your grocery dollars? Don't think that your slow cooker is only of value in the cooler weather. It can be a lifesaver when the weather is hot and steamy, too. Although, I don't know. During the summer, I really don't want to use the slow cooker and have steam blow up in my face.
I mean, when I think of slow cooker, I think of chili and soup and stuff like that and warmer weather things. But I mean, I guess you can have chili year round.
Yeah, but during the summer.
Chili's more of a winter food.
Well, I suppose that's like eating ice cream in the winter, huh?
Yeah, you can still do it, but it's not as fun.
Oh, I think eating ice cream anytime is fun.
Of course you do.
Bake a cake or cookies. Sharing home-baked goodies stay cozy in the best frugal way. Spending a little time to bake a simple or elaborate cake to share with loved ones is one of life's true frugal joys and an excellent way to create hygge at home. Relax dining with friends and family. While you're prepping the slow cooker meal, why not double the batch and invite friends or family over for an informal dinner? You could even go old style and host a potluck.
Oh, there you go. When I used to go to church way back in the early to mid-90s, I remember every fall they had potlucks. And we would go over to people's houses. Like, my mom would know about this. I'm sure she's listening. She would remember the potlucks where we would go to people's houses and they would have different meals there and then go to another house. I always liked it because I like playing in their backyards, like seeing people's backyards. That was fun.
Some people have awesome
backyards. I miss potlucks.
They need to make a comeback.
Yeah. Seems like something only old people do.
Young people can have potlucks, too.
Yeah. I don't know.
A do-it-yourself spa day. An important part of hygge is taking time for self-care. I bet you all knew that was coming.
Yeah.
So treat yourself to a do-it-yourself spa day every now and then. Allocate a chunk of time and use it to enjoy a relaxing bath. Remember the bath salts, or give yourself a pedicure.
Caligon, take me away.
The next one is something we have outside on our porch. I don't know if they've lit up in a while, but decorate with fairy lights.
Fairy lights?
There's something very special about fairy lights. It might be because they have a fairy tale quality, or it's just that they remind us of the holidays. Whatever it is, it means they add cozy with a minimum a fuss and expense. Drag out the old Christmas lights and drape them around your bedroom.
Hmm.
String them through the trees in your garden or over an arbor or pergola if you have one.
Basically put it over your garden if you have one.
That comes to the end of our hygge.
Hygge.
So if you can find the joy in hygge, your life will be so much more relaxed.
I know the perfect outro to this episode now.
Sure, you can go out and buy a heap of hygge accessories to add to your home. But the real frugal joys of hygge, like all the simple pleasures of life, are not bought. they're made. For me, Huga is about connections, connecting with your loved ones, your community, and seasons and yourself, and building rituals around those connections to support them. None of these things requires a full wallet, just the commitment to spend some of your precious time on stuff that really matters to you.
Yeah, that's good advice. I didn't even know that such a word exists, and I love it now. I'm going to start calling things Huga. But hey, it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us do celebrate Huga. We just don't realize that we were doing it.
If you guys are like me and like a whole bunch of soft, cozy blankets, that's celebrating Huga.
Yeah, get out your blankets because it's fall and it's getting colder. And I'm sure by this episode's taping, it's already snowed. Because last year it did at this time. Get cozy, get Huga, and get some people over and have more Huga.
And keep your fish and your cats safe.
Yeah, and watch Rambo on BBC America, which is on right now. Victor Educor, do it now. And that'll do it for episode 11. A couple of weeks from now, we will not have an episode. So on the 26th, these come out every Tuesday. We will not have an episode. That's Halloween. Have a great week. We will see you next week on the Catbox Chronicles. I am Justin.
And I'm Mel.
Have a good one.
See you later.
Hasta la vista.